This podcast is all about small business in St. Petersburg, Florida, how the business owners got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle, a marketing firm where we help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustles and ditch their 9-to-5s. As the founder of a small business here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners. Lucky for you, I also like to record those conversations for you to listen to. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, because there are probably more nuggets in other episodes, both past and upcoming. It would also be great if you rate and review the episode to let us know what you got out of the conversation. If you have a question about marketing, building your brand, or operating your small business that you'd like to have answered on a Q&A episode, please visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion to submit it. On this episode of Hustleberg, we have the good fortune of talking with Rick Herbert from Ace High Printing. You may remember Rick from the St. Pete Open for Business chats that we did back in April. He was gracious enough to come on for a full interview for the Hustleberg audience. Make sure you check out the show notes to find where you can connect with Ace High Printing on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And their URL is acehighprint.com. Enjoy! So, Rick, why is printing what you do?
That's a great question, and it's a very long and short story at the same time. Printing is not what I ever set out to do. It wasn't my main goal in life. It wasn't even my passion at the time. As it turns out, I fell into it quite by accident. Before printing, I have done everything from managing an ice skating rink in Florida, mind you, which is quite a feat in itself. A few people will remember the ice skating rink in the Pinellas Parkside Mall. For a few years, I managed that. I even learned how to drive on the Zamboni. Before I could drive a car, I was re-icing the rink on that thing. So that's a fun little tidbit. I went on to restaurant work. I owned a restaurant. I ended up being a freelance computer networking guy. And that's kind of what led me to printing. There was a sign shop, a printing shop on Treasure Island. And they called me up one day. They're like, hey, we have these new machines. We'd like you to network our machines and our computers and, just put everything together so that they can operate. I said, sure, no problem. I'll be out there. Plus, it's a day on the beach for me, right? So I go out there. I set all their machines up. It took me about 2 days to get everything dialed in just the way they wanted to. By the end of day two, the manager there, he's like, hey, have you ever seen graphic design? Do you know anything about it? I said, absolutely not. He sat me down. He let me play with, the Corel Draws and your Adobe Illustrators and stuff like that. He let me play with programs. 3 weeks later, I'm managing the place. I had zero background. Didn't know what I was doing. But it was something that came sort of naturally, and it was an artistic thing, and it was fun. And that's where it all kind of started. I just picked up a full-time job being a graphic designer and managing a sign shop when I had no clue what I was doing.
So out of nowhere, you got into the printing business.
Fell right into it.
All right. Well, so you talked a little bit about what you were doing before with the ice skating rink and mm-hmm. the freelance computer tech stuff and networking. Mm-hmm. Was it really just self-taught when it comes to a lot of the graphic design things as you were getting into from never having worked there to 3 weeks later managing the place? Is that really how it went?
100%. I've never taken a graphic design course. I've never gone to school for it. It was literally trial by fire. It was get in there and learn by doing.
What is your most popular type of printing that you guys do?
Stickers. I would say that's what we do more of than anything. And when I say stickers, that can encompass quite a bit of things. It can be just your regular average stickers that you see on a stop sign that somebody slapped up there. It can be product labels. It can be things on to-go containers. It's any kind of facet you can imagine a sticker being, all the way up to a full wrap on a vehicle.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's a pretty wide variety of things.
Absolutely.
Because normally I think what I've seen on your Instagram has been a lot of band stickers.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I started this, and this is quite 16 years ago now, I was actually in a band at the time and working at that sign shop. And I had just a real hard time trying to find any company that would print for a band. Because for some reason, bands, you know, were viewed as not having a lot of money and, you know, not a sure thing. And just there were certain areas like surf shops, skate shops, bands, venues. It was hard to find a dedicated printer that actually wanted to work for you because you're not, quote unquote, a corporation. So I said, screw it. I'm working at a sign shop. I have access to these machines. I can do it for myself. And then the light bulb went off. If I can do it for me, I can do it for everybody else that doesn't have a good printer.
So that seems like it leads right into my next question. What's the most important lesson you've learned thus far?
Well, believe it or not, the most important lesson would be patience. You know, not every client thinks the same way you do. Not every client communicates the same way you do. Not everyone has the same expectations. Patience has been a huge, huge lesson learned. Just how to deal with customers and managing their expectations. And not only that, taking it one step further and having that crystal ball to be able to pull what's in their mind out into a tangible product.
Oh, isn't that crazy how you have to figure all that out for them?
You've got to be a wizard all day, every day.
So in addition to this niche market with regard to bands and skate shops and surf shops and the like, who is visiting ASAI? Who's coming to you for their services and what are they looking for?
You know, it's grown. Like I said, I've been doing this since July of 2004. So what we started with, you know, one printer in a garage, just printing for bands and tattoo shops and, you know, stuff like that, has grown into this just bizarre amalgamation of clientele. I work with, Fox Sports and the MLB Network, you know, and these big sports enterprise companies. I work with the garage bands down the street. You know, I work with a lot of the great city people here. You know, we work for the Dolly Museum, the St. Pete Police Department, all kinds of great people. And what I find is the longer I do this and the more we expand, the more people really need our services. So what I do for one client one day is not what I'm going to do the next day.
Well, that sounds like an awesome bit of variety.
It is. It really is. It keeps it new and fresh every day.
Now, what are some of the most inspiring things you've worked on since 2004?
I have got a list.
Okay.
Top of my list was a project we did in the Dolly Museum in 2014. I don't know if you saw it. I know there was thousands and thousands of people that were able to see this exhibit. It's called Dolly's Skull. And what it was this huge life-size, room-size print. It spanned 36 feet in one direction and 40-some-odd feet in another direction. We actually printed and covered their entire floor with this semicircle of a skull painting. In the middle, we had to construct a 3-foot in circumference or diameter by 8-foot tall reflective mirror tube. When you walked on the floor and walked up to the tube, the skull would actually jump off the floor in 3D up into that mirrored surface.
Whoa.
It was really the coolest. It was taking something that Salvador Dali created all these years ago in a very, very small, you know, way and try to recreate it in a life-size huge room. It was by far one of the coolest things we've ever done.
Wow, that sounds awesome. We were actually just at the Dali Museum a few weeks ago, and okay, it was the first day that they had reopened after their closure for COVID, and so they were still working out a lot of the kinks. So I didn't see that, but man, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that was a good 6 years ago. The most recent thing we did for them, I don't know if you guys saw it, was that cloud room where when you walk in, it's all projection and stuff like that. What we did was we completely whited out their floor so the projectors would work, and it was supposed to be like this 3D thing where you walked into being in the clouds. The clouds were projected on the walls, on the floor, on the ceiling, all of that stuff. And we were a part of that. That was a good time.
So what is it that you're doing within the community to help build your brand, to showcase yourself, getting the word out there about ASAI? How are people finding you?
Well, you know, it's been a lot of word of mouth. I mean, it's 16 okay. years in the game. I'm one of the few people that do what I do as well as we do it. And, you know, that's a huge pat on the back to us, but it's true. You know, people come to us for a reason. Right now, we're actually in the process of doing a complete overhaul of the company. We're going to do new branding, new logos, new website that's going to be a lot more user-friendly, give you a lot more information, and kind of let you into our shop a little bit more. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing that pushes us to the next level.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, obviously you have plans for the future. Currently you're where you are today. Where is it that you want to take ASI Printing, and what is it that you're doing toward that end? We know about the massive rebranding that's upcoming. What else is going? Where do you want it to be?
Oh, we're just going to keep growing. There is no glass ceiling for us. We're in a historic building right now. We share space with another company. I'd give it another 4 or 5 years. We're going to branch out into a much larger warehouse space. Right now I've got some machines in the building I'm in currently. I've got some machines in a warehouse. I even have a shop up in New Orleans. We're starting to expand, but I'd like to keep most of the things in St. Pete under one roof eventually. So we're going to take what we've learned and gone through over the last 16 years and do it for another 16 plus.
All right. So you've got 16 years of experience in it. How much would you say that you're working in it day to day versus on the business itself, looking to grow it, build it, and lead it toward the vision that you have for it?
I'd say it's a good 70-30 split. I mean, I put in roughly 10 to 12 hours a day, you know, 6 days a week. I try to take one day off if I can. Sometimes it's not possible. But I'd say the bulk of the time from when I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and get in here until, you know, 5, 6 o'clock at night, we are hustling and I'm making sure things are taken care of. But even when I leave here, the laptop comes with me, the notebook comes with me. I'm sitting down, I'm trying to figure out what's the next strategic move. What do people need? How can we be a better service to the community? And that's the key.
Now, is there anything that you're reading, watching, or listening to help guide you into building the Ace High that you envision?
Well, you know, everybody that knows me knows I'm a huge, huge social media recluse.
Okay.
I don't get it. I don't do it well. I should hire a social media company to do it for me because it's just not me. But it is one thing that I do have to pay attention to. And I do spend a couple hours on every single day just watching what's going on in the community, what the new trends are, what people are needing, what people want, and just kind of how the market goes. And the quickest way to do that is to find out what people are talking about. It gives me an idea of which way to navigate the company to better serve the community's needs.
You know, so many people utilize social media in a way to broadcast what they're doing, and they're not using it in the way that you are, where you're actually listening. And that's a huge mistake by a lot of folks, because you're not necessarily going to know what people want if you don't ever spend any time listening to them, and you end up being kind of the guy at the party who's just kind of yelling in the corner, "Hey, I sell refrigerators over here. Yep. If you want a refrigerator, I sell it." And they have absolutely no clue what's going on with the party. They're no fun to be with. And it's a huge disaster when you take a look at post after post after post where they're just saying, "Look at me, buy from me, new sale." And I love that you're listening, which is fantastic.
Well, you know, if more people would just stop and listen, you know, half the time they're speaking, I think the world would be in a different place, because that's how you learn, you know?
You're exactly right. There is a reason that we have two ears and one mouth.
That's it.
So are you a St. Pete native?
I am. Born and raised right here. I was born in St. Anthony's downtown.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you've seen a pretty significant change then over the course of your life for all of Pinellas then, because I see changes just since I moved here. I was actually looking at photos today as we were packing up from a year ago in Boston before we moved here.
Oh, wow.
And I can just see a ton of change in a year here. Some of that's COVID related, but I imagine that you've probably got a ton of things that you've seen change over the years.
I have seen it all. I remember back in the, you know, mid to late 90s, even early 2000s, before they really started redeveloping a bit, when it was just the Wild West down there. I mean, there were all the buildings up and down Central, they were just broken out windows and homeless living everywhere. And it was kind of a dangerous place to be. And then they came in early 2000s, super late 90s, early 2000s, and really started redeveloping and making the place really, really cool. They've since gone past that and overdeveloped, in my opinion. But that's a whole different story. I mean, in my opinion, they're pricing everybody out of the market. We don't need all these condos. They're great. They're cool. But in 10 years, who's going to be in them? You know?
Well, yeah, there's always the question of how is it going to be in the future. And they're trying to, you know, they're trying to be Nostradamus to know what's going to work and and what's going to do well.
Well, good luck.
So exactly, right? Human action is amazing, and it's going to change a lot no matter what it is that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So you work a lot.
When
you aren't working, what are your favorite things to do in St. Pete?
Well, COVID has kind of put a stop to most of it. I mean, live music was a huge thing. I've been in bands and played in the county for a long, long time. I mean, we used to play at State Theater and Local 662 and FUBAR and all, you know, your staples downtown, which are all gone now. And then, you know, once our places were gone and the band decided to take a break, my favorite thing to do was go out and just see other shows. Well, of course, we're not having that now. So, you know, I mean, it's your typical St. Pete thing. I like live music. I love going out to the new restaurants and checking out the new stuff. I haven't even seen the new pier yet.
You know, I hear from everybody who hasn't been that it's a must do for them. I haven't had a chance to check it out. It's been on my list. I just wanted to let a little bit of the excitement about the new pier opening die down before I headed over.
For sure. I'm doing the same thing. Just let the masses have their fun. And in 2 or 3 months, I'll go check it out.
Exactly. Well, Rick, tell me where people can find out more about A-Site Printing. You said the website's going to be changing, but I imagine the URL is going to be the same, social media handles and the like.
It will be, yeah. The website is asiteprinting.com. It's pretty easy. It looks like an old school Hot Topic from the 90s website. And like I said, we're going to change that. I mean, come on. I mean, when I built this, it was 2004. It looked great then.
Right. I get it.
But yeah, on the socials, we're on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram a lot more than we are Facebook, but both at Ace High Printing. So we're pretty easy to find. We're accessible.
Awesome. Well, Rick, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today and share with the listeners of Hustleburg what it is you do and how you serve our community.
Absolutely, Brett, man. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
You did it. You just listened to Hustleburg. To thank you for listening, we're helping you reach ideal engagement on any social media platform in a 3-week training available at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. See how you can change your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. Speaking of businesses, if you're a small business owner in St. Pete and you'd like to be a guest on an episode of the podcast, let us know at beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastguest. If you got something of value from this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player. This is something small that you can do to help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer. The music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend Rhymer Educator. On May 28th, he released a mixtape entitled Quentin Quarantino about loneliness during the COVID-19 pandemic, and I encourage you to check it out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.